All right, so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you for all those people who are joining in with us, the group over here, energetically all together. And we have the phone line still open. This is a simulcast with a conference call. I welcome those people that have joined in here lately in at the line. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wanda from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Hi, Wanda. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
All right.
Anna from Washington.
You had to think about it, Anna.
City or state, right?
All right. Welcome to the call, Anna.
Thank you.
Jerry in Miami, Florida.
Hello. Good evening, Jerry. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for being here. All right.
And we'll wait one more minute till Jerry is here.
All right. And I welcome the person who just joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Chris in Scappoose, Oregon.
Hi, Chris. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. And somebody else joined. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Keep the flag up high.
Yes. It's been beautiful today.
Great.
Not in Washington.
Not in Oregon.
Uh-oh.
Beautiful in Alberta.
All right.
Beautiful in Sedona.
Beautiful in Florida.
I believe Terry to have arrived. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
How are you, babe?
Good. We just got back from Phoenix.
All right. So you're home.
Yes. Don't get me home.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi,
Terry. This is Cindy in Peoria. How are you?
Hey, hi, Cindy.
Hey.
It's so good to see you.
Hi, Cindy.
Yes, it was wonderful. Hi, Wynn. How you doing? I can't help but I have to ask that.
It's all right. You can ask.
All right.
Wonderful seeing you guys.
Needless to say, we had a really interesting stay.
Hey, Wynn?
Hmm?
How come you never send out the emails when you had the calls recorded anymore?
I did. I just sent it out.
No, but
no, that's what...
They come once a week.
I mean, the recorded call
you
that
mean,
I'm talking about.
The weekly digest you're talking about?
After the call.
No, you used to send out... after the call, you used to send out an email saying it's been recorded.
Somebody was supposed to be doing that, and I don't think they're doing it. And I have to get around trying to coordinate it and see why that's not happening. You know, hopefully they're being posted on the Spirit Channel. I mean, maybe some of you guys are realizing this. But we make an attempt to look professional. But this is very much a seat of the pants operation. And it's a lot of juggling of priorities. So sometimes things like that fall through the cracks. And
Gary,
I'm not even monitoring.
Gary used to make sure that that happened if somebody didn't send it out. And Gary
Gary, who passed away, Gary Brownlee, was monitoring that for us. And he's not doing it.
Oh, I see.
Gary, we miss you.
Yes, we miss you, Gary.
Is he here, Gary?
So it's 6:03. We have the.
If you can send me the emails, I could do it for you.
Well, you know what? There's more to it because. Who is that speaking, by the way?
This is Dhammananda is making the background noise.
What happens?
I'm not making noise. It's my computer.
Are you fairly computer literate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? There's more to it.
Yes,
like
I am.
Downloading the email, uploading it to Ignite, and then knowing how to access our email sender so that you can send it out. But drop me an email. One of the things is I teach people how to do this stuff sometimes, and then they make a mistake, and suddenly...
Wipe out the whole website.
They wipe out something because they get access to our stuff, you know? So...
I muted the lines to have it clear right
thank
now.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, and
this conference is being recorded.
We've done a bunch of transcripts. Go ahead.
This is April 23rd, 2014. This is our Wednesday question and answer call. And Terry and I just walked in the door from Phoenix back to Sedona, which is about a two-hour drive. And we spent about three days over at Terry Friedman's house. And it was quite amazing, but it was not easy, believe it or not. And I hope if you guys haven't listened to the call on Monday, I'm going to send that out to the whole list because that was like a historic call, in my opinion. Because Terry was on, Carla Ruckert was on, and Alan Steinfeld was on. Now, Alan was not really, how can I say it? He wasn't a principal on the call, but he has a big radio following in New York City. And,
TV following.
And I think it's a YouTube following. And a few weeks ago, he recorded us in Los Angeles. No, a couple of months ago. I don't know. And supposedly, it's up now. And he's fascinated with our work. And he happened to be doing an event in Phoenix while we were there. And Terry Friedman's caregiver, he needs caregivers. And Terry's caregiver happened to be friends with Alan, and we were, you know, I wanted to get Alan to hear what was going on our shows and maybe have Terry Friedman on his show. And so I invited him on the call to listen in and to ask a question if he wanted to. And so, but nonetheless, why was it a historic call? It was historic because I'm putting together certain ideas from the vast amount of information that I've inputted into myself. One of the sources of information is the questions that I have asked over 10 years to our sources and compiling all of that. But I don't usually repeat that as truth. I say, this could be true, and I think in many, many cases they've proven themselves to have a fairly high degree of accuracy. Sometimes they won't answer a question squarely until we have done enough groundwork to be able to handle the answer, because they don't want to be a dispenser of truth. Believe this, believe that, believe this, believe that. But I do a lot of groundwork. And of course, in addition to my own questions and the questions we do here and the questions we've done privately, there is the questions and the sessions that David Wilcock had done at the time I wrote the book. And then there are the incredible sessions that Carla Rucker had done. And we've created this view of the other side that seems to hold pretty true. And that is that the two main positive sources that have the most power and influence potential in this realm are these two group souls, the Ra group and the Elohim group. Ra group being a hundreds of millions of individual entities that graduated from this realm, and the Elohim group being a group of celestial entities that were the first spin-off of what's called the One Infinite Creator, and that both group souls have different MOs, different ways of interfacing with us. And of course, if you've read our books and you've listened to these calls, you've gotten the feeling for it. And because we've developed an energetic resonance with both group souls, the voice that comes through Terry says that it's an amalgamation. We've created an opportunity for them to amalgamate, and the voice that answers us is a combination of both group souls, the Ra group and the Elohim group. Now, of course, that's speculative because there's no way to prove that. So you just have to say, okay, maybe that's true. I would never say to anyone to believe that. But in any case, you know, we keep amassing more data that seems to validate that this is true and this view of the other side is true. And one of the things that I had came to a predisposition to believe through this amalgamation of all this data was that Jesus was a member of the Ra group, and the Ra group was the source that Jesus worked with on the other side, the main source, and was part of the co-creation of the phenomena of Jesus coming into this realm, and that what Christians call the Holy Spirit was a energetic bridge that the Ra group built going from the higher densities to Jesus, and that would hold that bridge to those who would reach for Jesus for quote-unquote salvation. And that bridge still exists today for those people that reach for it, and that Christians would call that bridge the Holy Spirit or the Trinity. I'm not sure. If somebody asked me what's the difference between those two, I don't know. I'd have to ask and see if I can figure that out. But that was my contention. And then 6 months ago or so, we met Terry Friedman. And Terry Friedman was not aware of the Ra group, probably heard the name Elohim, but he believed he was a reincarnation of Matthew, and he wrote a book about it, the man who walked with Jesus and was the scribe that kept tabs of the activities of Jesus. And, of course, the book of Matthew is the most popular, successful, most quoted book of Jesus' teachings in the New Testament. And, you know, Terry has recollections of that lifetime And, of course, those of you who heard him talking, it was like he was there. And he could talk about it in great detail from the point of view of being an eyewitness. So putting together Terry Friedman and Carla Rucker and putting together the idea that could the rock group be connected to Jesus, and I think that no one really had to say uncle that was true, but they were both very in harmony with each other, and it was a fascinating call, and many people sent me emails on it. So please listen to that call, because it puts together incredible pieces of data kind of supporting the work we're doing, as well as this connection with the Ra group and Jesus. Now, I think it was last night. I want to tell you, when you think of all of this and that we're hanging out in Terry's house, it might sound like, wow, what a joyful experience. No, it was really difficult. The reason we were there is because Terry has MS, and Terry broke his ankle. And his MS keeps him in a wheelchair, and he's fairly disabled, and he needs caregivers taking care of him. And I went down there after he had accidentally took some poison, and he was close to dying. And I went down there to be supportive of him, and we ended up being there for 3 days. And because he broke his ankle, and because of everything else, I had to wake up at least, two times in the middle of the night, walk him into the bathroom, and be his caregiver. And I wasn't getting much sleep, and he was like thinking, like, do I really want to be here? I'm ready to go. And we did that call. I said, let's do this call, because my feeling was that if he could realize how important he could be, make him want to live, because his life is really difficult. And so I think we somewhat succeeded in doing that. And in fact, we introduced Cindy, who's on the line. Cindy came down, and she lives in Peoria, and if need be, she'll go down and stay with Terry occasionally and help him out. So you see, love means doing what you need to do. It doesn't mean always doing what you want to do. And I think there were incredible things that came out of our visit that are still going to unfold. And one of the things, Terry tells me Jesus is always with him. He has conversations with Jesus. And so last night, Terry Brown, was that last night that we did that little session? Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Okay, we've lost Terry. Earth to Terry, are you unmuted?
Can you hear me now?
I hear
Hello?
You now.
Okay,
I hear you.
I double muted myself.
You double. Okay, okay. Double muted yourself. Well, it's a good thing we know your style. It's okay. But in any case, I said last night, we were casually hanging out in this bedroom, and I said, you think Jesus might talk to us? And he said, yeah. So, okay, we ended up having a conversation with a voice that came through Terry that said it was Jesus, and I asked some questions. And, of course, one of the questions I asked was he connected with the Ra group? And he said, yes, okay. So perhaps sometime in the future we'll have a Monday call and we'll talk to Jesus, okay? Now, Interestingly enough, when we were in our first sessions with DK, and this was first happening, they said that Jesus would come through our group. And that just seemed too crazy at the time. And here we have that experience. So stay tuned, but be sure and listen to Monday's call. Please, if you haven't listened to it, it was historic. You want to say anything about it, Terry?
Well, I wonder if it's up yet for people to listen to. It might not be up. Hello?
I'm here. Is it up yet? It's a good question. Let me just go see. TheSpiritChannel.net. Yes, it's up on the Spirit Channel. Okay?
Oh, good.
So go to TheSpiritChannel.net, and it says, very special, a non-traditional Jesus. Terry Friedman, Carla Ruckert, Alan Steinfeld, and more. Okay? So it is up, and please listen, because it will, I don't know what it will do for you, but it'll do something, because it was, I think, bordering on a historic call, and the kind of stuff that we're working with in our groups, and the things that keep coming forth, but never stops blowing my mind, and I mean, all of you who keep coming to these calls and holding the energy are playing such an important role in holding the space for this to occur. You couldn't do this to a public call. People wouldn't get it in the right way. They would not get it. It would sound like we're all crazy. Of course, if you study the work we're doing and you see how it's all built and keeps building on top of each other and, you know, all the different things, it makes sense. But, you know, it's like, it's a reality system buster, because you start to understand the real nature of things without having to depend on faith or history, which has been convoluted, or filters that have come through churches, and what really happened. And that on these calls, we are working with, I would say, we're working with the Christed energies. We are working with similar, if not the same, I don't want to say the same, but similar energy bridges into other realms, teaching us how to access those bridges and lift ourselves out of 3D. And as you know, it's not easy. Even when you make that access, it's not like suddenly your life changes. It takes a lot of work on yourself. And it takes, we have to all do work on ourselves. It's a constant process. Because, you know, in this realm, you are either creating or you're created upon. You're either actively creating and moving energy, or energy is moving on you and containing you. That's one of the big tricks of this realm, how to create above the energies that are creating you. And when I say the energies creating you, I mean the input that we take in from the conversations we have with our friends, to watching TV, to all the things that are describing reality and programming us to believe that reality is this. And how do you get out of that when it's all around you? It's one of the reasons we do these calls, to be a reference point. And many of you have felt the energies on this call, because these calls are done under the auspices of these group souls. So even when we're not channeling them, even when they're not talking to us directly, they've said they're here. And many of you can feel it. And so this is a creation outside of 3D that we are doing right now, that you are part of the doing. And, of course, the learning is how to learn to create yourself in your life above the level of all the things that are impacting you. And, you know, you can't run away from them. Well, you can. I mean, in days of old and probably days present, people run off into monasteries. They run into protected environments to attempt to hold the pure energy of spirit and feel the connection. But we are doing this not in that way. We are doing this in a public way, and you don't have to leave anything you're doing to participate, you know. You just have to show up, and if it resonates over time, for many of you, it's going to create a shift. How long will it take depends on you. And we try to give all the keys of how, what you can do to make that process faster. So on that note, let's get into our questions tonight. Let me just take a quick look and see if there's any last-minute questions. Amen. Okay. Marilyn Kowalski had a question, and I'll put it in there, but I don't know if we'll have time. You know, we on our console, we get to see the names of those of you that don't have unblocked numbers. And one time, you know, I started saying hello to people. I'm always afraid, you know, because we see who you are, I don't want to violate your free will by just saying, hello, Eric, and hello, Marilyn, and hello, Cecil, and hello, Jane, and Susan, and Joel in Chicago, and Ted. Let's give you first names. Garcia, Nancy, Michael, Michael in San Diego. Okay, thank you all for being here. And the rest of you have blocked numbers. And, of course, we don't know who's listening on the Internet. So hello to all of you. And let's go right into our questions. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must please now, and do we have our sources present? For Jerry Black.
Yes. This is Ra'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here tonight to answer questions or to be of the assistance as we may be. And when you ask, you are heard. We see your lights. You shine as a light. And we can connect directly with you, not through the telephone line, not through the radio, but directly to you. And we love the connection. We love being here. We love being with you and the connection. You are not lost. You are loved. Do you have questions?
Yeah, I'm going to start with a question from Marilyn H. And she says, she's wondering why some of our great teachers suffer from painful, debilitating medical issues. And I would add to that, sometimes they suffer from a lot of other things. They suffer from great prejudice. They suffer from sometimes making great sacrifices and not being recognized until after they die, if they got recognized at all. And she says, you mentioned Dr. Friedman was suffering from MS. Carla suffers with back pain and is bedridden. Stephen Hawking is in a wheelchair with ALS. There was a little boy named Matty who used to be on Oprah Winfrey who wrote books about heart songs, and he died of muscular dystrophy and suffered considerably at his death. Are they unable to live in a 3D body due to their higher vibrations? Did they contract this before they came in? Could you give us any understanding about why this occurs to people?
Thank you. There are a number of things. One of the things is that the individual, each one is an individual. Each one carries their karma. Each one is working through their karma, and they are eliminating their karma. Sometimes their intensity burns their nervous system, as it is hard to be in a body and to be able to bring through some of the brilliant energies that these people bring through, and the body sometimes suffers from that, overloading the circuits. And there are special remedies that can be given. Some of them are to increase the B vitamins when one is burning with such intensity. Some of them are overcoming disabilities with their brilliance and have set upon isolated out their brilliance to bring through as a, what would you say, as a, not a compensation, but a way of bypassing their disability, of working through their disability and setting it aside and bringing through the brilliance that they have to bring through. So there, in what we have just said, we have some of the things that can be causes of it. One of them is that they are burning with such brilliance that they burn out their nervous system. And they are, another one is taking on the things that they are healing from another. Some of the masters have then taken on some of the disabilities and are working then to dispense with them and have not learned yet to send them on into the ground or to move them as a flow out of themselves, but they are burned by the things that they have taken on and the healing that was done on another can be then residual in the healer until the healer is overcome with the things that he has taken on from the people that he has healed. So those are two things right there that can be going on. It is different with different people. Some people of brilliance have overcome their difficulty by focusing on something that they can do and then channeling their energy into that thing. This is a third thing. They channel it into the outlet that they can produce, and they put all their energy into that, and they overcome the disability. For instance, Stephen Hawking overcomes the tremendous disability that he has in his body, but he is able to bring forth brilliance with his mind and can have an outlet there. So these are three things that can be a problem. We hope that helps.
Can one create a connection with the higher group souls to be able to pass the energies that one picks up through them to the Elohim and Ra groups?
The Elohim group will speak of them one at a time. The Elohim group does not take on the energies, but passes them, flows them immediately on into one of the places would be into outer space to be dispensed and transmuted. The Ra group has more of a tendency to take something on, but they also attempt to pass it on rather than to take it on as a disability to overcome. When one realizes that they don't have to set it there and then overcome it, then one can let it flow on through more easily.
If one has ego, as if like, I am a healer, look what I did, does that create a more of a tendency to hold on to energies from other people?
Give us a moment. When one says, look what I did, there is more energy upon the person themselves, and the energy does tend to stay in one's own sphere and not be passed on, yes.
Thank you. Next question is from Dave in Mesa. And Dave is asking a question about his cat, Troy, that passed away, and a cat that he adopted that he called Tiger. Now, Dave says, I heard him, but let me just say, Dave believes he heard him mentally say, Tiger is fine, but my name is Higgins. And he proceeded to let me know he was a friend or a confidant, as he put it, in a past life of mine. So, Dave didn't ask that, but let me add to his question was, well, he says, can our sources verify this? And was his cat formerly a human? Thank you.
Thank you. We did not, give us a moment. And we are talking about the cat Higgins, the cat who was in the fire but did not make it out of the house. And then found himself in the vicinity of David again being grounded by David. We do not see that this cat was a human, but we do see the affinity between Higgins and David, and that he is staying with David.
Mm-hmm. So the cat actually has another name as Higgins, and he prefers to be addressed that way. Is that what I understand?
He has a lifetime as Higgins. He likes the name Higgins.
Okay.
Family was with a family named Higgins, and he got used to the name.
Okay. Donna McLeod lives in Toledo, Ohio, and she has a question that she's been working very hard on decalcifying her pineal gland and finally had a vision about 2 months ago that she's puzzled about. It was a flash of three different pictures, each lasting about 2 seconds. The first was a billboard with a bunch of letters that seemed to be a scrambled-up message. The second one was about 6 or 7 balls on the billboard, and the third was a set of beautiful wooden double doors at the bottom of a few steps. Each picture was as if it was in HD, and the colors were vivid. Is there any further understanding I can have about the meaning of this vision? That's Donna McLeod in Toledo, Ohio.
Thank you. You are beginning to get dreams, and you can ask for further clarification of your dreams to have a continuation of the dream and to see what the double doors mean, that going through the going down the stairway in being able to have the possibility of moving through doors to open up a whole new world where you can then have the potential, if you take it, of bringing in visions and to become more psychic and to see things in a greater array, in a greater range of frequency than you now see. You are opening and you have the potential of being able to open the doors and go through it, but we recommend that you put out that you wish more clarification. What is the meaning of the billboard? What is the meaning of the balls? Ask for more clarification and you shall receive it in your dreams.
Thank you. Fred Brooks in Alaska asks, what are archons and how can we combat them? Now, I'm not sure if Terry's conscious mind knows what an archon is. If need be, I'll do a quick looking up on the word archon, and I do believe it relates to something negative from other dimensions, some kind of negative force that influences this realm. In fact, here, I just looked it up here, archon on Wikipedia, and in Wikipedia it says, it's a Greek word that means ruler or lord, frequently used as the title of a specific public office. And it's from ancient Greece. And in late antiquity, the term archon was used in Gnosticism to refer to central servants of the demiurge, the creator god that stood between the human race and a transcendent god that could be reached through gnosis. Gnosis means knowing. In this context, they have the role of angels and demons of the Old Testament. They give their name to the sect called Archontics. The characteristic feature of the Gnostic concept of the universe is the role played in almost all Gnostic systems of the seven world-creating archons, known as the Hebdomad. These seven are the most, in most systems, semi-hostile powers, and are reckoned as the last and lowest emanations of the Godhead. Below them, and frequently considered as derived from them, comes the world of the actually devilish powers. The ancient astronomy taught that above the seven planetary spheres was an eighth, the sphere of the fixed stars, and in the eighth sphere, the Gnostics taught, it dwelt the mother to whom all the archons own their origin. And then there's somebody named Sophia. In the language of these sects, the word Hebdoma not only denotes the seven archons, but also a name of a place denoting the heavenly regions over which the seven archons presided, while Ardoad denotes the super celestial regions which lay above their control. And that's enough to read about archons. And do you have any comment about that?
Could you read the question again?
And the question was, what are archons and how can we combat them? So, in other words, Fred believes there's something that we're supposed to resist or overcome or do battle with.
Thank you. Our understanding of what archons are and Terry does not have that in her vocabulary. Our understanding of what archons are fixed ideas, fixed fixities that can ride on a person or come in on a person. It may not take over the whole space, but may be in the partial space of a person, and it can be a fixity based upon a rigidity of a belief system that is being programmed in, has been programmed in the past, or is being programmed in the present from another entity, that it can make a distortion in the person's space that then causes the person to have a fixed rigidity in their belief systems in a certain way and have fixed ideas and not be able to then move with understanding completely of their own situation, and that they have a fixed rigidity belief system that is being superimposed on them as if it were a kingly edict. We see to look at it if one experiences it, to look at it and to picture it dissolving, and to then move back and forth between what one sees as the fixed idea and to move into the surroundings, to take a walk, to be around some other people and let that toxicity move off and then get some other ideas and see how one's mind can track with the current situations and not be fixed in something that is holding it into a rigid position in their mind that may come from outside of their mind.
Thank you. Next question. This is the last minute one from Lucas in London. And he's asking a question about the nature of the human soul. Is the human soul uniform? Now, I'm not sure how I would understand the meaning of what does it mean for a soul to be uniform, but I'll just ask this question as he has it. Is the human soul uniform, or has it a structure, like components or aspects? And if so, what are these?
Thank you. The human soul does have a structure. It is not a uniform consistency. It has a structure. It has a housing. Some of the things that it consists of in its housing are its groundings, its anchorings. For instance, if it is anchored to the ground, to Mother Earth, it may not realize that it is anchored to Mother Earth, but this is an aspect of grounding. Location, GPS, is an aspect of grounding. Belief that, or knowledge that, the parents love the child is something that can become part of the soul matrix. Disbelief that they are loved can become a very unstable part if they believe that and can upset the whole soul housing. So part of the things that the soul consists of are grounding belief systems, are connections. The second thing is connections with a group, a soul group, a small soul group that work together for a significant purpose and contains a higher self and a lower self. And the lower self works with the higher self, and the higher self dies. And when the person dies, they take this little soul group with them. And the soul group can be very valuable and supportive. The belief systems can be very valuable and supportive. The memories within the soul can be very varied and can support the person and help them to set up a future life and help to design the DNA that is comfortable with that particular soul. We hope that helps.
Thank you. Last question for tonight. What are the spiritual implications of gossip? People, when they get together, they tend oftentimes to talk about other people. Oftentimes they find faults in other people. Other times they talk about personal things about other people, about who they're sleeping with and what they did, whatever, ever. And sometimes they create a group judgment about a particular person by agreeing that a person is a certain way. every time we do something, we're creating movement and flow of energy in other dimensions. What's the movement of energy that's created when people gossip?
Thank you. That is a very, very potent way of affecting people's opinions and can be used detrimentally or can be used positively. If one uses it detrimentally, it only can take a few sentences or even one sentence with a tone of voice of rejection and judgment to, if one is bonded with the speaker, to turn one or more people off and put a big division between that person or the group and the person that's being talked about. It can be fun to gossip, but it does have definite consequences if one, when they are doing it, can see and by their intention to turn people toward their own self and away from another, if that is the intent, they can see as it is happening how it is going to affect things in the future. If a person is very strong, they can resist the belief that is put into not only words, but is put into emotional tone when it is said, that can be very devastating and can turn people against people for a lifetime.
So it's better, probably, when you're thinking something about someone to bite your tongue and not go into it with another person.
It depends upon the situation. If there is something that is urgent and concerning life enhancing or detrimental to life, it may be very important to pass information on. However, it is, if it is idle and of no purpose, one can tell, and then one should not pass it on. It might even be false.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to close the session for tonight. We just ask our planet to be surrounded in the love light of the higher dimensions, that the amount of people that become aware increase, waking up. The group intention of the positive is increasing. We ask for interventions for the highest good of all concerned in honor and free will regarding natural disasters, unnatural disasters, that they be mediated and controlled in a way that the planet and the people can be allowed to evolve into the highest potential over the next periods of time. Thank you for being with us. Thank you all for supporting this. Thank you, Terry Hives, and people that are volunteering. And we'll see you, some of you, on Sunday. And on that note, have a great Thursday. And everyone's unmuted. Thank you.
Bless you, Ann. Bless you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.